It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. We are live from the Racing Boys studio here in lovely Kansas City, Missouri. It's a beautiful day here in Kansas City. And welcome to the show. We've got, it's Monday, so we always have Kirk sit in with us on Monday and Fridays, talk about what happened over the weekend. And on Fridays, we talk about what's going to happen over the weekend. Kirk, how you doing, my friend? So your boys lost this weekend, didn't they, to Baylor?
They did lose.
Yeah.
And, but we got screwed over a couple of calls there in the first
now,
half.
Hold on, Kirk.
They were the better team. Baylor was the better team in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bottom line. They just got beat.
Baylor is a better team than Iowa State.
They were on Saturday.
Right, yeah.
So, hey, it is what it is. Move on. They play at Kansas next week. So
yeah,
we'll find out how that goes. So Chiefs didn't fare too good yesterday.
No,
either, did
they didn't either. They didn't fare too well, but I think they were the better team as well.
Really?
Yeah, because, first of all, the special teams unit totally imploded yesterday. The kicker missed two field goals. If he makes those two field goals, we win the game. First of all, they did a fake field goal. They tried that, and then they missed a field goal. And if they make both of those field goals, they win the game. It's pretty simple.
And if not for that personal foul penalty, they would have won the game too. That was a killer.
Let me just say this about Chris Jones, to be honest with you. He's the real reason we lost that game. Running his mouth with an official standing right next to him, that cost us the game more than anything else.
Yeah, because they were going to get the Colts off the field at that point. You know, the Chiefs get the ball back, they could have run out the clock.
I know it. You know, you hate to lose to a team that's 0-1-1. But listen, they have, just to be fair, they have a really good defense.
That was good.
The Colts have, the Colts have a really good defense. And so, yeah, it kind of bummed me out a little bit yesterday. I wore a shirt that I probably shouldn't have wore.
What's that?
Oh, just a shirt, you know, a Chiefs shirt. But, you know, some of them are better luck than others.
Are you superstitious?
Not really. Not for the most part, I'm not. I can't get my player to play on my Facebook page for some reason. I don't know what's going on there. I have no idea what's happening. But anyway, so Austin, how was your weekend, bud? What'd you do? You didn't watch that Chiefs game yesterday, did you?
No, and I probably should have if they were going to lose.
Right. Right, because you always say they lose when you watch them.
Yeah, I didn't miss anything is what it sounds like, so... we'll keep the streak of me and the tradition of me not watching alive, unless we make it to the Super Bowl, and then I might watch maybe 5 minutes of it.
Right, right.
When we win.
I'm with Caleb here a little bit. He said, but seriously, 2 weeks ago, Kelce got full-on body slammed and no flag, but trash-talking is a flag. Ugh. I'm with you, Caleb. I've never seen anybody called for running their mouth. I've seen people punch people in the face, do all that kind of stuff, but I've never seen anybody get flagged for running their mouth. And football players run their mouths all the time.
But that was a game-changing personal foul penalty because I felt the Chiefs were going to win that game up to that point.
I want to know what Jones said. He said they were just having a conversation. I don't know about that. We'll have to figure it out.
Well, if you're a Colts fan listening out there in Indiana, you're happy.
Right? They're happy.
You're
right
the
now.
Happy people.
Right. They're happy right now.
Hey, the Bills lost, too. You know, that was a pretty exciting finish down there in Miami.
Caleb
too.
Said we would have been up 7 if Buckner would have been in there.
Yeah, and I hear he's coming back next week, the
kicker.
Well,
let's hope to God that he comes back.
They need him.
You know, I don't know if you saw it, Kirk, but when that last game when he got hurt, did you see where he did a one-step 54-yard field goal? Did you see that?
I missed that.
He only took one step and kicked it a 54-yard field goal. Why is he not in there right now?
Wow.
Or better yet, why don't we have the linebacker, Justin Sanders, in there doing it? Because he's better than that guy that we've got.
That guy
is horrible. Get rid of him this week.
What about the guy that kicked the first week? Is that him that you're talking about?
Who?
The kicker that was in there the first week of the season. This guy that was in there yesterday is different than what I saw.
No,
earlier.
The guy that we had was one of our linebackers.
Okay.
That kicked the ball.
So
and
that,
he did
that's
a fair,
that guy you're
and
talking
And he did
about.
A good job.
Yeah. I thought he did a good job. But there's no question in my mind if Butker had been in the game, they wouldn't have tried that fake field goal attempt.
They wouldn't have tried it. Kind of ticks me off just a little bit, just so you know.
Hey, it's just one loss. Buckle up and go at it again. Next week's another game.
Well, now you got to go play Tampa Bay, which they lost yesterday too, by the way. Did you see that, Kurt?
Yeah, boy, did they screw up on that two-point conversion try.
Well,
Tampa
I don't
Bay.
Know if they screwed up.
They let the clock run out.
Well, first of all, that's a 5-yard penalty on them right there, right? No doubt. But I don't. When you're that close to the end zone, I don't think with a person like Tom Brady as your quarterback, I don't think that makes much difference. Starting to worry a little bit about Patrick Mahomes a little bit, though.
Well, you know what? I think defenses have got Patrick figured out a little bit. You know, it just it's tough. The NFL's a tough league. It's tough to win in the NFL.
Someone said Jones had said a racial slur to pull that. Caleb said, but Matt Ryan was jaw-jacking. So, you know, they were just running their mouths to each other. That's all that was going on.
Well, that penalty, you had the feeling too, didn't you? When that penalty came down, you're thinking, oh, my God, what a big one that is.
Well, it was not good, that's for sure. All right, so we've been talking football here for just a moment.
Lots of good racing this weekend.
A lot of good racing this weekend. Where do we start, Austin? Where do you want to start?
I think Four Crowns worthy of a good,
do you
good
want to,
segment.
You want to start with the All-Stars? Tyler Courtney, what'd you think of that race with the All-Stars?
It was a pretty good race. You know, Peck got really fast at the end of that race.
He did.
And I'm not sure if the way that the track started to wear out, you know, it looks like they ran the non-wing cars, maybe the midgets non-wing cars, and then the wing sprint cars. So the track was kind of used up, and it was kind of similar to what we saw on Friday with the World of Outlaws. But,
yep.
You know, guys were still kind of able to move around. We did see guys kind of dip to the bottom, but you know, those cars were so equally matched in the line that they were running. It was going to be hard for Peck to make a big run on Tyler Courtney. It was going to take a mistake. And, you know, Courtney did make a couple mistakes. He got the right rear over the cushion, coming off a four with a handful to go, and it really allowed, you know, Peck to get close. But, you know, after that, his car was so good, he was able to kind of pull away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't make any big mistakes again. And I think, you know, as a driver, you know when you can look at the big screen in turn one, and if they're filming you, you're not doing it right. You're usually got someone behind you,
right?
And you know, he was able to kind of use that to his advantage. And what kind of made him get over the curb there was just the way that the track was, with the track being really slick, and the car. If you looked at his car, the wing was well past like halfback. And it was back there pretty far where the front end was light. And with the curb kind of being edgy, it was really easy for him to hit it wrong and get the front end over it. That's the tough thing about running wing cars on a big curb like that when the track's really slick is you get the wing so far back, and if you don't back into the curb the right way, if you back into it too square with the sidewall, mm-hmm. it's easy to pick the front end up and get over the cushion and bring the whole car with you. And it kind of forces you to really be like free with it and kind of roll the right rear in it, kind of like on the edge of like where the sidewall and the tread meet.
Right.
But you got to have your car free. And it's a fine line of like having the car tight enough to where you're not scrubbing too much speed and being free, and having it, you know, far enough forward to where, you know, if you get into it wrong, you're not going to be over it and into the wall.
Right. Was anybody else a little disappointed on the car count with the midgets?
Oh, my God, that was horrible.
That was ridiculous, wasn't it? What, they have 16 cars?
I think it was 16 on Saturday. They had about the same number. I mean, I think they had a couple more cars on Friday, but, like, if that was a Power I event, okay, I understand the 16. That was a USAC race, and that was one of the bigger USAC races. Maybe not the biggest one, but...
One of the bigger ones,
and that race attracts a lot of guys to that event, with it being the four crown, and most of the midget guys, or I should say USAC guys, run midgets, run sprint cars, and run crown cars, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be there on four crown weekend, because you can go race the three classes that USAC offers all at one track.
Yeah.
I mean, we see a handful of guys run, you know, have a full-time midget ride and run a couple of other cars. But yeah, I mean, I thought we'd have at least a full field.
It was pretty disgusting. And let me just say, as Kirk brought up when he came into the studio, one of my pet peeves happened again this weekend. They kept the camera on Buddy Kofoid's car while he was obviously shaken up, and they kept the camera on that race car. What in the hell do these producers, what in the hell are they thinking about when they do that? Pull that camera away, do something else, shoot something else, but don't leave it on a car when somebody is injured. It's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Well, like, I get your frustration with that, and I think everybody has the right to be frustrated with it. But we look at two examples. Yesterday and Saturday, we had two situations where we had a driver either injured or shaken up. And we saw that yesterday at the Cup race with Cody Ware and how they handled that accident. And they did it the right way. I mean, they filmed him for a little bit, but it went straight to commercial break. And we obviously knew he was injured. But this deal with Buddy, we knew one of the shots that they had with Buddy, you know, he had his helmet off and he was just kind of sitting there. I think if the situation was more urgent with Buddy and they had, and you saw personnel kind of more urgent to the car, and, you know, maybe you had some more ambulance crews or safety crews around him, then the camera doesn't need to be on there. But if he's just kind of like sitting there catching himself or collecting himself, you know, that's, I guess you could, you know, leave it there. But
we don't know that as fans or family members that are watching that race on TV. We don't know that he's not seriously injured. We don't know if he's just catching his breath or not. We don't know that.
Well, then
take the fucking camera off of the goddamn car.
Well, then that's when, you know, you have everybody there on the track has radios. Radio back to the tower that he's all right. That's the first thing you do. When you get to the crash, are you all right? I'm all right. Radio to the tower. At that point, it's mute.
Again, we're not privileged to the information from the tower to the track. If they were to get on a radio and say, Buddy Kofoid is okay, he's talking to officials, then that's okay. But when they just sit on the car and the driver, and there's no communication between the officials and the announcers.
Yeah, the announcer needs to do a better job, and they've got radio communication with the people on the scene. They get communication right away if the driver is awake and alert, talking. At least communicate what you know to the fans while you've got that camera on there, because I agree with you. We don't know what's going on. It looks bad. The announcers may know more than we do, but you got to communicate that to the public of what's going on. So that's all I'm saying. And, yeah,
If the announcers are privileged to that information, right, and they know it, and they're sitting there next to the officials, relay that message to the yeah, viewers.
And the World of Outlaws do a great job at that. Johnny Gibson,
they pull off immediately.
And he communicates directly to the fans what he finds out right away from the radio. You know that the radio communication is ongoing. And Johnny Gibson does a very good job of communicating to the fans immediately what he is told from the track. And they do a much better job of not holding the camera on the car and so forth. But, you know, you've had your issues with that as well, even with Dirt Vision. So, you know, you just you gotta use some common sense in a lot of these areas and communicate to the fans. If the driver is awake and alert, get that out right away.
So Tommy Hahn says he agrees with Austin. I don't know what he agreed on there, to be honest with you. Tommy, if you were, I know you'll never be at a, very few times, I think only once, that Tommy has not been at one of Blake's races, and it bothered him to no end. But if you were watching that race, Tommy, and your son was in a wreck, how bad would you feel if they kept the camera on there for everybody to see how bad he was injured? I can't handle it.
But if you're a family member watching away, wouldn't you want to see what's going on?
Also, too, in both these situations, it's actually been buddy in both of these situations that we talked about, one at Houston's and one here, nobody's ever been injured. So I think...
But we don't know that.
I think if the story's different and we know that, all right, buddy, if you can sense the tone by everybody around the car. You know, you can sense the tone. If they're moving in a hurry, then something's wrong, right? But if we actually knew that he was hurt and we see him leaving an ambulance or whatever, and the camera never left the car, then I mean, that would be a problem with me. But we've never had a situation where a driver was seriously injured, and we've had this occur.
Again, we don't know how injured the driver is until the announcers communicate to the viewers. Me personally, as a producer, if somebody that's done this for 13 years out on the road, I think it's asinine to show the car with the driver in it, with all the officials around it, hovering over a driver to see if they're okay, to leave that camera on that car. It's just my pet peeve. I'm sorry.
Well, we're
I'm
glad
sorry
that-
I'm dwelling on it.
We're glad that Buddy is okay.
Yeah,
that's
no
the
doubt,
main thing.
No doubt.
It took him a little while to get out of the car, but yeah, that was a wicked ride that he took.
Listen, I don't have a problem with it if the announcer says, hey, he's speaking to the officials, he's okay, he's breathing, he's fine, he's alert, all that. If they communicate that to you, then I'm okay with it. But communicate that through the broadcast to the people that are watching the broadcast. Don't just sit on the car. It's asinine.
Well, that was that Mitchell Moles crash, that was also a pretty wicked ride.
Oh, that was.
Glad he is okay.
Yeah. That might have been the wreck of the weekend, Austin, would you think?
I think both of those were equally the wreck of the weekend. And that brings up the next point. Do midgets belong on half miles?
You think that's why some of the drivers weren't there?
I think...
They're scared?
I don't think... I mean...
Intimidated by the half miles driving a midget, you think?
Maybe. We've seen... Midgets just aren't... I guess... I mean, the cars are well-built, right? But I don't... They're not suitable for half-mile racing. I mean, look at what happened with both of Buddy's and Mitchell Moles' car after they just got on the wall. I mean, that was that wreck, you know, anywhere else would have been, it would have been a tough ride, but you probably would have been able to go back to the work area and fix it. I mean, those three cars right there, including Chance Crum, they're all junk. And I don't really think it comes down about tearing cars. I think it's just more driver safety. And we've seen, what was it, 7-6 years ago, you know, Clausen was killed on the half mile. I just, you know, as cars have gotten faster throughout the years, I don't see the big reason or the big need to have midgets on half miles anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's just what they put on. I mean, they put on decent races, but, I mean, you just, it's like, you know, you just get strung out and it's really nothing exciting. And midgets have always prevailed and always been a short track car.
Mm-hmm. No, I kind of get where you're coming from on that a little bit. But, you know, there's some drivers, my gosh, Kurt, he keeps playing with that thing over there. Here, just take this one, Kirk. Give me yours.
We're trying to get the headphones to work here. I'm trying to listen to Austin because he's making a lot of good points there about all of this stuff. So
yeah,
that's all I'm trying to do.
So. I know it.
Anyway, where we were.
Anyway, long story short is I'm kind of with Austin a little bit on it. You know, half mile tracks are pretty big. But, you know, once in a while, you need to get those guys out of their comfort zone and make them race on a bigger track, I think. You don't think so, Austin?
I love going fast. I love half miles and sprint cars. I love, you know, the miles with Silver Crown cars. I like going fast. But I think the midgets just don't belong there. I mean, it's just for a lot of reasons.
Right, you're just afraid that people are going to get hurt driving those midgets.
I mean, look how close it could have, how this story could be really, you know, really different if, you know, Chance Crum's car is just, what, a foot farther forward?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that rear bumper doesn't go through, I think someone might have mentioned this in a comment, but the rear bumper and the right rear tire does not go through the down tube. Where does it go? Right through the side of the car. And you know, these cars, the micros, have a lot more side protection than sprint cars and midgets. In the sprint car, you just have the safety bar, which was, you know, added in here in 2018 after Jason Johnson, and then that's it. Like, I mean, that's right there. You're gonna have something going through your arm and through your upper body.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I can see that. That was a violent wreck. No doubt.
Well, same reason the midgets don't come to Belleville anymore, big half-mile racetracks. A lot of these guys, for a number of reasons, not safety
Belleville's
being
faster,
one of them.
Belleville's faster than Eldora.
It is, yeah. But I mean, but it's still a half-mile racetrack. And a lot of these guys, even from a performance standpoint, don't want to run these big half-mile racetracks because, you know, it winds up the equipment too much for these midgets that they don't want to race on those bigger racetracks, so there you have the car count. 16 is what you end up with.
Right. Tommy said too much risk. I know Robert Blue told me that midget should never be at I-70 Speedway. Caleb also chimes in. He says that if we had more midget races on half miles, does that equate to drivers learning to drive more safely? Tommy also chimes in and says Eldora is too big for midgets. So I think maybe there's a consensus there that the track's too fast.
And Matt Wood did an interview, I think right when the midgets, or they had the first, I think it might have been 2020 or so, when like USAC first came back to Huset's.
Yeah.
And they had, like, I think it might have been the first midget nationals up there. And he made the comment that, you know, Huset's is almost a touch too big for midgets. But he, you know, he believes that they should never be on half miles again. So, I mean, you have a car owner, you know, has a ton of cars or fields a ton of cars and midgets and sprint cars and has been around the sport forever and, you know, has a really, really high opinion on some things and has a valuable opinion and, you know, he believes that they shouldn't be on there either.
So I would say that probably that some of the midget drivers just didn't want to race there because it's too fast, right? What do you think? You think that's part of the reason we had the short car count?
Yeah, and I think some teams, I mean, What is midget racing? It's just Keith Coons Motorsports and a couple other teams. So you're going against a lot, you know, bigger resources. And I think some of the smaller teams that you might expect to show up at, like, a Gas City on Friday night or some of your local Indiana dirt tracks, just don't see the value in going to Eldora when you know you don't maybe have the equipment to run with, you know, a Keith Koontz or RMS. And
that's true, you'd
be a little more equal on a shorter track when midgets are really, you know, built for short tracks.
Yeah, very good point, Austin. That a lot of people just don't feel that they compete against KKM or the Boats of the world, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you guys can do it. And you're a racer, you're going to go to race, but, you know, some places you go to, you might have a little bit of an effect on where you go and, you know, what you do with, you know, your equipment.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, the Four Crown. We'll talk about the World of Outlaws, Anthony Macri's win. That's all we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a lot about open wheel racing today here on Mosul Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Mosley Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Sure, especially sportswear in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And we want to thank everybody for tuning in. Is everybody's stream working okay? Everything? Everybody see everything okay? For some reason, Kirk and I can't get on our own Facebook page. That's weird, isn't it, Kirk?
Yeah, I mean, the YouTube and the Twitter pages seem to be working fine, but you and I are getting on Facebook, and we see a player there trying to play it. So anyway, we hope you're able to watch. If you can't get it on Facebook, try your YouTube, the Racing Boys
Kirk,
YouTube.
If they're not watching it on
Twitter
Facebook
pages.
Right now, they're probably not watching it anywhere.
Hell, they can find us.
Right.
Just go to racingboys.com.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Anthony Macri. He picked up a win this weekend, didn't he, Kirk?
Big win, $26,000 victory at the
Selins
Jim Nace
Grove.
Memorial National Open at Selins Grove Speedway.
Yeah.
He that just another big victory in the very successful 2022 for Anthony Macri in that 39 car, and he got it done again on Saturday night.
Yeah. Who is the hottest driver? Would you consider Brent Marks or Anthony Macri the hottest driver in the country right now? Or is there somebody else I'm not thinking about, Austin?
I don't know. It's kind of, you know, at the start of the year, it was Anthony. Anthony went on a hot streak until about April, May.
Right.
And then it was Brent Marks. Brent Marks picked up for where, you know, Anthony left off. And Anthony's still been good the rest of the year. And Brent's kind of faded off, and I think it might be kind of switching back towards Anthony right now. You know, he's won the Tuscarora 50 at Port Royal here about two weeks ago now.
Right.
And then he won this $26,000 race too. I think it might be him. Everybody's just kind of gotten better as the year's gone, and you know, some guys that were really dominant at the start of the year kind of maybe have fallen off. I think if you want to maybe pick an outlaw guy, you could maybe pick Carson Macita right now. Carson's been really fast.
True,
since
yeah. How many races has he won this year?
Like 11 or 12.
Yeah.
You know, he got really fast after the Knoxville Nationals and the Jackson Nationals, and he went out and did really well in California. And, you know, he should be a really, really good contender this weekend at the National Open.
Yeah.
Is there really a hot driver? Can you really say that? Because out west, we had the Shark Racing team doing so well. Then they come back east. The other night at Sharon Speedway, Brad Sweet dominated a World of Outlaw race about as much as we've seen all year long. He's in the points lead right now, and is he in a position now to where he's going to get on a hot streak? We've just seen so many different winners at so many times of the year. Just to say one driver is hot for any lengthy period of
Austin,
time, that's hard to judge that right now.
Look up how many races Brent Marks and Anthony Macri have won this year, if you could do that real quick. I'm kind of like with you, though. You know, Anthony, Carson Macedo's got to be one of those drivers you got to think about as one of the hottest drivers in the country. He's won 11 races. He's had 33 top fives, 47 top tens in 60 starts this year. Another guy that you got to look at as one of the hottest drivers in the country is Sheldon Hodenshield. I mean, he's won 9 races this year. He's currently fourth in the World of Outlaw points right now. And he's 240 points out of the lead. He's not going to win the championship this year, but Sheldon's got to be a guy that's considered one of the hottest drivers in the country as well.
Yeah, but it's been a little while since we've seen him win a feature race, even though he was among the leaders in the World of Outlaws as far as feature wins are concerned.
You got to go by the quantity of the number, though, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Is it winning or just the consistency of it all? Because if you're looking at consistency, you guys have got to point your at 49 Napa car, Brad Sweet, who's going to win another points championship.
Kirk, he's only got 5 wins.
But is it consistency or is it running towards the top or is it number of wins you're only looking at?
I'm looking at wins.
Brent Marks has 17 wins. Anthony Macri has 21. Brad Sweet has 5.
So Anthony Macri is the hottest driver in the country.
Is
then,
that
right?
21 wins counting the other night at Sealands Grove?
Today, yes, that is as of on SprintCarRatings.com is as of 9/26/22. So today.
Yeah. So does that make Macri the hottest driver in the country? 21 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I think you.
What'd you say Brent Marks at? 16?
17.
17.
I mean, Carson Macedo's at 14. That's overall wins in 2022. Danny Dietrich has 13. There's not a lot of guys. Cole Macedo has 10. There's not a lot of guys that have, you know, double-digit wins. Maybe 4 or 5 guys right there. So, I mean, if you're in the double-digit wins, Brown has 14. Reitzel has 14. Lance Deweese has 16. No, take that back. That was combined between this year and last year. So just looking at this, there's only like 3 or 4 guys, 5 guys maybe, that have double-digit wins. So I think if you're in that category, you are one of the hardest sprint car drivers right now.
Yeah, no doubt. When it comes to non-wing drivers, Justin Grant has 8 wins this year. He's won $116,000 this year. Let's take a look at the dollars on that, Austin. When we talk about drivers and the amount of money that they've won, Brent Marks, he's got 17 wins. He's won $258,000. Carson Macedo has won $440,000. Brad Sweet has won $426,000. And those are about all the guys that have won $400,000. Kyle Larson has won $488,000 this year.
That was last year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. So, hold on. I was looking at the wrong one. I am sorry about that.
Brent Marks won the most money of any sprint car.
Brent Marks has won $597,000. I'm sitting here thinking, and there's nobody else that even has a 4.
You know, you talk about the historical big one and the King's Royal in a matter of days that Brent Marks was able to pull off at Eldora Speedway. That adds to that win total by quite a bit, just those two events right there.
Yeah.
$100,000 to win the historical big one, and then how much was the total payout for the King's Royal? It was over that. It was more.
He walked out
than
of like, I think he walked out of the door with over like $275,000.
Right.
I mean, Donnie Schatz is the closest one.
One night paid $100,000 and the other night paid $175,000.
I mean, Donnie Schatz is, I think, the closest person to $400,000, sitting at $393,000.
Because he won the Knoxville Nationals.
Yeah, the Knoxville definitely helped his.
Rick, he chimed in a little bit. He said, total wins or quantity of those wins?
Quality,
I should say.
Yeah,
quality
I
of those
wins. You got to look at, but you just can't look at number of wins. I mean, Anthony Macri,
so.
I mean, that's certainly impressive, the number of wins that he's had this year, but he's not a full-time outlaw driver either. I mean, he's run against the outlaws at times this year, but he has not.
Let me bring this up.
Fared well in a lot of those races.
Isn't it just as hard to win out in Pennsylvania as it is to win with the Outlaws?
I think what they're or Kirk was maybe trying to say is like it winning 10 races at a little whole track in the middle of nowhere that has maybe 12 cars is not equal to winning, you know, that same amount against like, you know, Pennsylvania Posse cars or like, you know, PA racing or with the Outlaws. So I mean, you can have 20 wins in a less competitive area maybe, and that's still maybe not equal to what, you know.
But how often do you see 12 cars race in Pennsylvania?
I'm just making an example here.
Right. Yeah,
maybe
gotcha.
It wasn't Pennsylvania I was trying to say.
To me, Carson Macedo winning 11 races on the World of Outlaws Tour is more impressive than 21 wins by Anthony Macri. I'm sorry. That's just kind of the way I look at it.
I'm going to disagree with you on that. What do you think, Austin? Do you think 11 wins with the Outlaws is more impressive than the 21 wins that Anthony Macri has running out in PA? What do you think?
I think
want my PA people to answer this question as well on the chat room.
I'm going to go with maybe Anthony here. And Anthony hasn't just only won an NPA. Anthony came and won $26,000 at the Race for Dean Foundation race at I-70 here in Missouri. And he's won just in the Northeast. Most of his wins came from Pennsylvania. But, you know, New Jersey with Bridgeport and a couple other places around there he's won at. But the races that he's won are big races. Like, you know, you can't overlook the Tuscarora 50. I mean, a lot of good cars went there. And, you know, he had to put, you know, had to actually drive from the back of the field to win that race. And I might be forgetting a couple here, but, I mean, he's won some really, really big races. And like, I mean, look at Brent Marks, too. I mean, Brent swept the weekend at Eldora and, you know, had a really good weekend there. So, you know, I think you have to look at what races did, how many big races make up that total of his wins this year.
Right. So Anthony Macri has 8 wins with the All-Star Circuit of Champions. Is that not right up there, Kurt?
No, that's big. But to me, bigger is 11 World of Outlaw wins by Curson Macedo.
I think that Austin and I totally disagree with you on that. We think that Anthony Macri winning those 21 races is bigger than winning 11 races with the World of Outlaws.
And the races that Brent Marks has won this year, those two races at Eldora Speedway with the historical big one and the King's Royal, ranks higher as well. I'm not trying to take anything away from Anthony Macri. He's a very good, young, talented race car driver. But until he goes and wins Eldora and Knoxville and some of the bigger World of Outlaw races, for instance, if he goes and wins the National Open this weekend at Williams Grove Speedway, $75,000, then that is way more impressive than anything else that Anthony Macri has won this year. If he pulls that off, which he could win that on Saturday night at Williams Grove. If he does that, then that ranks higher than any of the other wins that he's gotten this year.
Hey, Austin, can we look up and see how many World of Outlaw wins Anthony Macri has? Can you find that for me? He's really good at looking up stuff as we fly during the show, so... But Anthony Macri is as talented as just about everybody on the World of Outlaws in my eyes. And I think the 21 wins, again, Kirk, it Pennsylvania is the hotbed in the country for 410 sprint car racing. And if you go out there and you win and you beat the likes of Brent Marks, any of those guys that run out there full time, I think that says that you're as good as any World of Outlaw driver in my eyes, because the World of Outlaw guys, when they go to PA, they don't always win, do they?
No.
But it's tougher.
Anthony's never beat him before. Not before.
He's never won an Outlaw race?
This year. Let me go back to the history of the Outlaws. But he has no Outlaw wins this year.
If Anthony Macri wins at Williams Grove this Saturday night, then you're going to change my opinion. He could do it, though. He's capable of winning at Williams Grove. I want to see him do it, though.
I'd like to go out there.
Pull it off.
Yeah. I'm going to Short Track Nationals this weekend, Kurt.
That's a big, big event.
That's going to be big. I'm looking forward to that. Might have to go down and get the front end of the little cruiser looked at before I go down there, because it's got a little vibration in it, the little Racing Boys cruiser.
It looks like he has not won an outlaw race before.
He's never, come on now, never won an outlaw race.
He's still a young guy.
I'm searching the history of all-time winners, and I'm not finding any matches to Anthony or the last name of Macri.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think he's won a World of Outlaws points-paying race yet.
And these were updated as of September 7th, so we know he hasn't won a race between the 7th and the 26th of September.
Wow. Are you a little surprised by that, Austin?
No. He's still pretty young.
I think it's easy to say yes because of the year he's had, but
he's not that young, Kirk. He's
22, 23.
Is he that young?
Yeah, he's a young kid.
But Anthony really got fast at the middle end of last year, or maybe last year in general. Like, he was really nothing in 2020, like 2019. Like, he's really come onto the scene of 410 racing in Pennsylvania, like, in the last two full years. So what he's accomplished this year is huge, and I think that outlaw win will come at some point. But what he's accomplished this year, I think it makes up for not having an outlaw win.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take anything away from Anthony Macri. The kid is young. The future looks very bright. He's going to get to where we think he's going to be, but he just hasn't done it yet. Now the time is to step up there and win on a big-time level.
I'm shocked that he doesn't have a World of Outlaws win, to be honest with you. I figured he'd at least have one, right? When they go out to Port Royal or somewhere out there, Baps or somewhere, you know, you would think that he'd outrun him out there once in a while. Wouldn't you think
that? Well, he's got some great opportunities coming up, not only this weekend at Williams Grove, but in his wheelhouse, Port Royal Speedway is the following weekend. And if he pulls off a win there, which he's certainly capable of doing as well as he runs at Port Royal Speedway, then we can say Anthony Macri has arrived. Until he does it, I say, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm still Paul agrees with you, Kirk. He thinks that you're right. We'll get a win with the Outlaws soon. Rick just said Macri will get a win with the Outlaws soon.
Eventually, he'll win at the World of Outlaws level. There's no doubt in my mind. He just hasn't done it yet.
Pete said AJ Flick has 13 wins, and nobody talks about him as dominant because of the fields he is doing it against. Does anybody agree with that?
That's what I was trying to maybe say earlier when I talked about a 12-car field.
Yeah.
I think that's a better example. I've known that AJ's won, you know, a good amount of races this year. I didn't know he won 13. But, yeah, I mean, he's just kind of a more of a local, like, Lernerville. Pete might help me on what tracks. I know I've seen him win at Lernerville a handful of times this year. But, yeah, I mean, that's just a local field. It's not – now, if he was winning and doing that Lincoln and Port Royal, then yes, we would hear more about him. But that's what I was trying to maybe get at there, you know, a little bit ago.
Yeah, I got you. I don't know. I'm still going to stick with Anthony Macri as the hottest driver in the country, 21 wins. That's just my opinion. But you know what opinions are like, right? They're like buttholes. Everybody's got one.
Well, certainly impressive. Anytime you win 21 feature races in a season and where he is from and running at in Pennsylvania, that is impressive. Don't get me wrong about that. But he's got an opportunity over the next two weekends to really carry forward the meaning of hot young driver. If he can pull off a big win either at Williams Grove this weekend or Port Royal next weekend, then we can come back here in a week or two and talk about Anthony Macri in a much different
light. Anthony Macri has won 8 races with the All-Stars. And he has run a total of 19 features. And with the All-Stars, he has 12 top fives and 17 top tens out of 19 races. That's pretty stellar.
That is. I don't want to try to take away from that record of what he has put forward this year. But when you try to compare him to what Brent Marks has done or all of the drivers that have won races, including Carson Messina's double-digit wins in the World of Outlaws, he's not quite there yet with those drivers.
Yeah.
We'll see.
No doubt. All right, let's take another break here, Austin. Then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. Stay tuned for more. We'll be right back to wrap up the show. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster. faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Let's talk about that World of Outlaw race at Sharon Speedway this weekend. Brad Sweet kind of stunk that up a little bit, didn't he? You guys agree with me on that one?
That was about as dominant a World of Outlaw race we've seen for a while. I mean, he stomped him. Once he got out in front, he checked out.
Started on the front row outside, led that race. I think he led every lap, didn't he?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he did.
Yeah, close to it. I think he led every lap.
I think he led every lap.
Yeah, he got a great start and just, we watched all these World of Outlaw races this year. And we've never seen anybody just go out and dominate the way that Brad Sweet did the other night. And that's a pretty scary thought if you're having any thoughts of taking him down for the championship this year with these races coming up. But even if he's not winning, he doesn't have all that many wins, but he's still finishing up front. Well, and it's hard for anybody to cut into that lead right now.
What Brad has figured out is Brad has figured out that you got to run in the top five every night.
And he's doing
to win a championship. Now, I'm not sure where he's at in the world of Outlaws. How many? So
he has
out of 60 races, he's ran in the top five 36 times, and he's ran in the top 10 52 times out of 60.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard to take that championship
away from him. Brad knows
that
podium finishes win championships, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he's been out here long enough to know that. And
right.
You know, Chase Rodman made the point on Friday night at Eldora that, you know, if Gravel wants a shot, he has to beat Sweet by 7 spots every night to have a shot going into the World Finals. And Eldora on Friday night, I think Sweet beat Gravel by 7 or 7 or more than 7. It was not a good night for Gravel. And then, you know, Saturday night with Sweet winning, I mean, it's just this is not the time for Gravel to be kind of, I guess, off a little bit.
Right.
You need to have Brad to have some bad nights. You can't let him win like this. And you got to have your stuff going. I think at this point, if Brad doesn't go out there and have 3 races in a row, maybe where he's crashed or finishing 15th or so, 10th, and Gravel can click off some wins, it's over.
You know, it's kind of funny when you sit here and you look at the top 10s and the top 5s. Brad Sweet has 36 top 5s and 52 top 10s. But here's the difference. And it's probably 96 points difference, right? David Gravel has 33 compared to 36 top 5s. Brad Sweet and David Gravel. That's 96 points probably right there, wouldn't you say?
That, and then, you know, I think Gravel's had more DNFs this year than... Does it show DNFs?
It doesn't show any DNFs.
I wish it did.
No.
You know, an example that kind of comes to my mind is Gravel's leading... Was it the opening night at the Heidmeck Nationals at Huset's and misjudges where a lap car is and where his right rear's at and gets sucked into the fence and destroys a brand new race car. But, I mean, that night he could have, you know, maybe if he wins that night and nothing else changes throughout the rest of the year, maybe he's, instead of being 96 points back, he's 70 points back.
Very good point.
I wish it showed his DNFs on there forever or everybody's DNFs. I believe that, you know, Gravel just hasn't really been that consistent with keeping a car on the track or keeping his stuff, you know, closer to the front when he has a bad night.
I think that's why Sheldon is probably not in the middle of it. How many times has he had to replace the front axle on his car?
I mean, he
this
crashed
year?
Twice on Friday night.
Right.
I mean, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, he's never really, I mean, he did the same thing at the Kings Royal. He put it in the fence, and I'm not really sure if the Kings Royal was a points race or not. I know if they change the format, the points are kind of just show up points. But, yeah, he's just Sheldon is really good, and Sheldon can get on a hot streak. But he is probably the most...
He tears up some stuff.
I hate to say it, but maybe the most inconsistent driver. You know, one night he can win, and one night it could be stuck in the fence.
Right.
And Carson Macedo, I mean, as all the wins that he has this year, there's been some bad nights for him, including Saturday night. He dropped out of the race at Sharon Speedway.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no doubt. Do you think Brad Sweet is disappointed with 5 wins for the year?
Oh, I think yes, after the years he's had. But, you know, to have 5 wins but still be leading the points and contention to win the championship, that kind of makes up for it a little bit too. But it just shows how good their program is. I mean, their program is off a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why we don't see the wins, but it's not off by a lot, and we're still seeing him contend 4 wins.
He had 16 wins last year.
Yeah.
And in 2020, he had 8 wins.
Yeah.
If you remember last year, he got all those wins early in the season. He didn't win after Labor Day weekend and went points racing from there to the end of the year to salt away that championship. This year, a little bit different. Not as many wins, but he's going more for wins here in the fall than he did a year ago when he was trying to pad what was already a huge lead. And it looks like to me that Sweet now is going after these victories more so than what he did a year ago when he was trying to pad that big lead by just points racing. Looks to me like the approach may be a little bit different this year than it was last year.
he won 16 last year,
yeah.
Kurt. I think you're right. I think that what he is concentrating on is being more consistent.
Right.
But he's definitely got to be disappointed with only 5 wins this year after winning 16 last year.
Yeah, but he'll be celebrating big that other championship.
And if
it comes down at the end of the season.
If I'm right, I believe they added money to their points fund this year. So, you know, yeah, he might lose out a little bit of money on not winning those extra, 11 races if he wanted to be at last year's standards.
Yep.
But, you know, he'll make up a little bit of that money at the end of the year, points fund. They added a little bit of boosting through for the full-time outlaw driver. So that kind of makes up for a little bit, of that loss too. But, you know, just imagine if he would have won, 16 races again and had that much extra money he'd have in his pocket at the end of the year.
Yeah, Cap Henry, Pete, thank you, Pete, for always giving us little nuggets, man. He does it all the time, and we can't thank you enough for doing that. He said Cap Henry in the number 29, 410 sprint car at Fremont Saturday, ran second. So that's pretty good.
Not a bad rebound after getting kicked out of your ride 2 days before. No, a day before that.
Hey, Pete, did you ever hear, was it a financial deal? Is that why he lost his ride? Because you're out there. You might have a little more pulse on what's going on out there than we do, because we're right here in the Midwest. But did he lose his ride because of finances? Or did he lose his ride because there was maybe a little tiff in between the teams? I don't know if Pete can answer that, but I'd like to know if he can.
Cap Henry lost to a guy by the name of Seth Zeb Sebo for the feature win out at Fremont Speedway. Seth Sebo.
Huh.
Or no, I'm sorry, Seth Sebo. Have you heard of this guy?
Uh-uh.
That's who won at Fremont. Seth Sebo. And then Cap Henry finished second.
Saturday at Sharon, Schuhart's team driving tent was stolen. You believe somebody stole a tent?
It's no different than everybody wanting to run down and grab all the banners off the catch fence out of that wall race.
Is that stealing?
Yes. It is stealing.
It is?
Doesn't belong to you.
You're costing the
sometimes
outlaws.
The world of outlaws will tell you you can take those banners.
Yeah, at the end of the year, yes, I definitely believe that is the case at sometimes. But, I mean, every outlaw race I haven't really been to a lot this year, but in the past, it could be the beginning of the year, end of the year, and they're all running down there to grab a Nossan.
Caleb says Carson Macedo was championship material this year before he got DQ'd for weight at the Grove.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
big blow right there.
That's tough to overcome.
Yeah. I know. I've been there. I got DQ'd one night for being 4 pounds light. And you know what the thing about it was? Those scales are only accurate within 1% of the total weight of the cars. And that's 30 pounds. Or 34 pounds. And when I came to them and told them that at the racetrack, they said, "Oh, sad. Oh, too bad. So sad. You're disqualified."
At least with the outlaws, they carry their own scales with them,
right.
So you know it's consistent every night, or should be really close to being consistent. But you know, you see the outlaw teams. I mean, they have the lightest stuff or the best of the best, and the lightest of the lightest on their equipment. I mean, look, we're running carbon fiber seats now. Carbon fiber steering wheels, and I mean your inserts are lightened, and you have, you know, light wheels, light bolts, and you know, these guys are pushing the limit on being close to being light. I mean, if you miscalculate, you know, a gallon or two of fuel, I mean that's almost really, I mean, what cost, you know, Carson Macedo, you know, the championship, really.
Pete has no idea why Cap lost the All-Star ride. How about this? The MWRA flags were stolen from the infield at Valley Speedway Saturday night, and someone stole money from the merch tent.
Golly.
God, there's a bunch of thieves out there.
We've had more crime.
I would love to catch somebody trying to steal something from me. because I'd make an example out of them.
We've had more crime committed in the pit areas of racetracks around the Kansas City area and miles away than I can ever remember this year. I mean, people's stuff getting stolen out of their haulers. We've seen too much of that.
Too much, too much. Carson Macedo will be championship material next season, says Paul. You think he will be?
For sure. You know, this was the second year with Jason Johnson Racing, and it was really, last year was kind of a year of just getting everything, just getting through the year, really, get through the races, and get a foundation kind of laid out. And this year was a building year and an attack year. And I, you know, with things that kind of happened to him there, and there may be some wrecks, you know, his championship, you know, fight, like I said, like we've been talking about, it's out the window, but you know, they've had a lot of experience working together the past 2 years, and if he can stay with them for next year, which I believe is the plan, I mean, they're going to be tough. The more you get to spend time with and have races with one team is just going to better you, you know, down the road. I mean, look how long Brad Sweet was with Casey Kane Racing before he won a championship.
That's true, right?
And look what they've done, you know, the past 3 years, maybe 4 years now.
Right. It's going to be four.
That combination can be lethal. You look at the personality of Carson Macedo and Phil Dietz, and the way they are building that foundation, as Alston talked about right now.
Who are you talking about?
Posting 11 wins, Carson Macedo.
You were talking about who, Alston?
Carson Macedo.
Oh, yeah. Carson Macedo.
But just that whole combination and the personality of Carson Macedo. That's got championship down the
He's
road written
guy.
All over it.
Yeah,
I think
hard,
they're going
to hard
do
to
it.
Dislike that guy.
I think they're going to put it together at some point over the. I'm not saying it's going to be next year, but you look over if they've got this long term commitment,
right?
That they're going to make it happen one day.
Right,
I have no doubt about that. Hey, I just want to point out the other night a call out to Cody Baker for a big win out at Valley Speedway on Saturday night.
NWRA.
It was the season finale for the USAC Midwest Wingless Racing Association. Wyatt Burks won the championship and looked like he was going to win the final race of the year, but Cody Baker had other ideas with about 2-3 laps in the race, outran Wyatt Burks for a big win out at Valley. So that's the first win for Cody. I know he's had a lot of issues here over the last year or so. First win since the beginning of last year. And to see Cody Baker step up and win that race the other night, that was pretty cool to see.
Dave Tyson, and we're going to get Dave in here one day. He's an old-timer, and he knows just about everything, right? We're going to get him in here and have him hang out with us one day and just talk about the old days. He said, other than the MWRA Sprint Car feature event, I was very unimpressed with Valley Speedway and some of the things I've heard. What were you most unimpressed with, Dave? Can you tell me? Is it just all the junk around Valley Speedway? That's what...
Clean it up.
Clean it up. Clean it up, man.
All right.
Just clean it up. That's all.
I like the track, though. The track is great.
Hey, you think Tyler Courtney will go with the Outlaws next year, Austin?
Very good possibility. They are. So Clawson Marshall Racing put a post out on their social media maybe yesterday or the day before. Might be Friday. One of those days. That they're looking for to hire some crew members to be part of their team. And it's been rumored maybe the majority of this year that they're ready to take that next step and go full-time Outlaw Racing. And their plan was to get a couple years, you know, under their belt with the All-Stars and see what it's like to go wing racing and get experience and, well, see what it's like to run for a championship and then come in there, you know, go to the Outlaw Tour when you're performing at your best and go there with a legitimate shot to win the championship in your first year.
Right.
And I think that, you know, after seeing that post on Saturday that they're looking for more crew guys, more help, only kind of leads me to think that there's a good possibility they will end up on the Outlaw Tour next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, we want to remind everybody about the track tribute that's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame right now. It's only going to go – it's wrapping up, Kirk, quickly. October 1st is going to be the final day for the Ascot Park track tribute up at National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Need to get up there and check it out. They've got all kinds of videos, driver uniforms, helmets, memorabilia from Ascot Park hanging from the – ceiling up there. It's really cool, and they've got a bunch of great race cars up there as well. The Tamale Wagon Sprint Car, Jimmy Oski's Old Paint Sprint Car. They've got Pernelli Jones Turkey Night Midget up there as well. Dean Thompson's number two sprint car. A lot of great, great memorabilia right now up there at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. You need to get up there and check it out. And you need to do it soon because this exhibit is almost over, folks. You better get up there and check it out right away. Take some time. Drive up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. As you know, they're open 7 days a week. So go up there, even if it's on a Sunday. If it's just a few hours, it's well worth the trip up there. And while you're up there, why don't you buy you a raffle ticket for the 2022 Triple X Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they've got up there available. And purchase a couple raffle tickets as well. They're going to give you $25,000 on top of that so you can pay for the taxes for the sprint car. So this is a great opportunity to own a complete race-ready 410 sprint car. If Kirk and I win it, we're going to give it to Austin so he can drive it. And maybe he'll run it up there at Knoxville next year. That would be a lot of fun to see that. If you can't get up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, you can always do it online at sprintcarraffle.com. That's sprintcarraffle.com. And if you're a little sketchy about putting your information on a computer, you can always call them up at 641-842-6176. That's 641-842-6176. That's the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And if you talk to Bob Baker while you're up there, make sure you tell him the Racing Boys told you about what's going on up there as well. What do you think, Kurt?
Has Justin Grant put a hold on this non-wing sprint car title for USAC the way he ran the other night at Eldora Speedway? Can Brady Bacon chase him down for that championship this year? Grant looked really strong the other night.
What do you think, Austin?
What's the gap
on the points? 2107 for Grant, 2027
the
for
difference?
Brady Bacon.
How many?
That is, what is that?
90 points.
90 points.
Around 90.
I think he's got it wrapped.
I'm not sure how the point structure works with. Hold on.
They got some big races coming up. Of course, the Oval Nationals out at Paris Auto Speedway.
Yep.
Got the Western World, which is going to be a Cocopaw Speedway this year. They've still got to head
out
to the West Coast.
Man, I'd love to go back down to Cocopaw.
That'd be cool, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
But Grant really looked dominant the other night.
Yeah, he's been really good on half miles this year. And, you know,
fearless.
With them going to, you know, Paris and a couple of those Southwest tracks, it might kind of fit his driving style. And, you know, if he can keep this speed up, I think it's going to be between really him and Brady. And Brady was pretty good on Saturday. You know, he had a run up there to the front for a brief moment. But I think if Grant can put his nights together and not make any mistakes and just be right around Brady, I mean, be one or two spots behind him or in front of him as much as you can.
Right.
But worst case, be a couple spots behind him and you should pretty much wrap it up. It's just Grant's been really good in the sprint car all year long, and we've talked about it just being the Blue and Bacon show, and that was the case for a while. But I think Justin's kind of been that guy in the shadows back there, just kind of lurking, and you know, he pounced on it and jumped on it at a good time, and it's paying off. We saw Blue have trouble, and that just kind of, you know, played into, you know, Grant's hands, you know, throughout the year.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see Tyler Courtney become the first driver to win in all four divisions of the Four Crown. He'd already won in the three USAC divisions, but he pulled off the win in the All-Star Sprints. The wing sprint cars at Eldora Speedway the other night, so he's now won in all four of those divisions up there. Courtney, yep. Really good at Eldora Speedway, especially in a wing car.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, folks, we want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm not sure who we're going to have on. We're going to have a guest on tomorrow. We're not sure exactly who that's going to be, but maybe we'll get the MWRA champion on.
Wyatt Burks. I might have his number.
You might have his number. Okay. Well, we'll try to give him a call tomorrow. Talk about his championship win with the MWRA. It's a regional series that runs around this area. Very popular, by the way. But they have 29 cars there?
Pretty good field. 29 cars for the Johnny Hell Memorial.
Isn't that weird how Power I pays more, NWRA pays less, and more cars go run MWRA. What is that all about? Anybody got any ideas on that?
Power I had the hold on Missouri, Kansas,
for a while.
Iowa, non-wing racing, and they try to turn it into a national series. From what I remember experiencing or witnessing, you know, a couple of years ago, they were dragging guys to Indiana and Illinois and just, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours away. And it's just, for these guys, they work, they get race on the weekends, and, you know, they race around the central Missouri, Kansas City area. And it's just,
yeah,
just too much for them to pull out there. And even though it's a little bit of a pay cut, they can.
It's 2,000 to win with war and 1,000 to win with MWRA.
I mean, it's a significant pay cut, but you're not spending the same amount of money you would go out there and win race for $2,000 in the middle of Illinois or Indiana. So, you know, I think it kind of balances itself out. I just, hopefully they could. It'd be really nice to see that. I know I don't race with them, but it'd be nice to see them maybe pay a little bit more next year, maybe and kind of help these guys out that have been running full time with them the past, you know, 2 or 3 years now. So. But they've done a good job on taking care of the racer around this area.
I think some of it has to do with Raul as well. I think people like racing for him, right?
I think that's
I
right.
know that he's not fully in charge of everything right now, but I think people like racing for him. So that's my opinion. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the show today. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. We hope that you'll join us right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.